Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an end-of-the-year update from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, the Minnesota Patriot Guard, the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and the Senior Enlisted Advisor to Minnesota's Adjutant General. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
People across our state look to a minister of some kind to refresh them and guide them in their decisions. In the Minnesota National Guard, we look to our chaplain corps to provide ministry to our service members, no matter what their choice of religion is. Chaplains serve as advisors to commanders on unit morale, ethical climate, and the state of morals within the unit. Chaplains are a tool in the mental wellness kit for our service members and veterans. They have been there in some of the darkest times to help service members find a spiritual way to relook at the situation in front of them. I encourage veterans to tap into religious leaders as a means to heal the spiritual and mental wounds of war.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and please check out last week's annual Chaplain's Christmas Show for more on how our chaplains serve. Joining me now is the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Patrick Kelly. He's a retired United States Navy captain, served in the medical administration most of his career, retired from the Navy in 2011. And prior to joining the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, he serves as director of the Sioux Falls VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Tom, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Director, we wanted to see your reaction to how things went in 2015 and what we're looking forward to in 2016. I know that there were some significant successes at the VA Medical Center in the last year.
Yeah, you know, it was a good year for us. I mean, we are working hard, continue to work hard to restore trust and you know, regain the trust of our veterans. But, you know, in the last year, we've done a number of things which I'm very much proud of. So, you know, we have remained longer than any other VA of the 154 VA medical centers, a five-star quality facility. And so I'm proud of the fact that we're able to maintain that standing. Which really is an indication of access quality and a number of other satisfaction measures rolled in together, which says that you know, we're doing a good job. We're proud of the work that we're doing. You know, in a couple of areas where we've had some access issues, we've done some good things in 2015. We last July opened up a brand new eye clinic, which allowed us to expand from 18 to 31 eye lanes, and so we're doing more eye care here in the hospital rather than sending them in the community, which is our goal. We also, in the last year, bought 7 new audio booths. So again, eyes and ears, that's where the access issues have been. So the audio booths have allowed us to do more audiology exams. We're doing walk-in clinics at both our Northwest Metro and Minneapolis site, along with Twin Ports up in Superior, Wisconsin. So we've expanded those two services where we've really struggled a little bit with access. And, you know, we're doing more surgery. We started a bariatric surgery program this last year. We're doing robotic surgery and more expanding robotics into different service areas. Additionally, we opened up a brand new outdoor recreation area for our mental health inpatients. Did a nice, beautiful renovation and moved into a new facility out in Chippewa Valley, one of our 13 community-based outpatient clinics. And just recently, here within the last 2 months, we took our whole comp and pen section and moved that over to the Whipple building. So, you know, as you can see from what I'm telling you, Tom, there's been a lot of construction projects, a lot of facility renovations that are geared towards improving service to veterans and increasing our access. So we had a good year in that way. We continue to be very blessed with the money to do these projects, and they've resulted in some, I think, some real improvements for our veterans. And so that's something that we're proud of over here.
We're speaking with Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, one of the things we haven't talked about too much is you've got a lot of employees out there. We learned on the Veterans Day show that you've got about 1,000 nurses, and you have to keep hiring to just stay even. A lot of very caring employees out at the VA Medical Center.
Well, thanks, Tom. I couldn't be more proud of our employees. And so, you know, it's you know, we have about 3,500 staff members between our medical center here and our clinics, and you know, we are challenged occasionally with recruiting and retention issues, like all healthcare systems are, you know, especially in the rural areas. But you know, we have a lot of our doctors who are top docs in Minneapolis. We have a lot of our nurses who are real leaders in their field, integrative medicine and several other specialty care areas. And so, you know, we have a good staff. Our staff is very committed and dedicated. And as we've talked about before, over 30% of our staff are veterans, to include all five members of my executive team. So I'm proud of the work that we do, and I'm really proud of our staff.
Director, do you have openings?
Always.
What's your most pressing need, sir?
You know, right now, Tom, nursing. And so, as you mentioned, we have over 1,000 nurses out here. You know, we're pretty competitive on salary and work environment, but a lot of it depends on what's happening in the private sector. So when nursing opportunities are good in the private sector, you know, we compete like all other healthcare systems. And so, you know, we've had a good year with respect to recruiting specialty physicians. And so physician recruiting has been good, even in some of our rural areas. But if there are areas where we're sort of always actively recruiting, it's always nursing. And then we have a lot of support-type positions with young administrators. And so medical support assistance roles, those that are helping us with scheduling appointments and answering phones and doing sort of the frontline customer service to veterans. So yeah, we always have openings. So
if our listeners are looking for a good place to go help some veterans, you're looking for some good people.
We always are. So, yeah, we'd love for your listeners to consider coming to work at the VA, because we have a great mission, and we have a large staff, and we usually have positions available.
Director, we've just got a few minutes left. What are you looking ahead for 2016? What kind of changes will we see at the Minneapolis VA? Will you still be wearing that hard hat for all that construction, sir?
So we have a couple of projects going on, Tom, as you might expect, and so we have started and will open our chronic pain management center, which again will allow us to treat more veterans with chronic pain, which is a big issue for veterans. And so we've grown the staff, we've grown the program, and now we're going to get a dedicated large space. It's the largest construction project we have going on, and so we will hang a shingle for our chronic pain management center in the summer, and that's going to be really helpful for veterans. Another thing that'll be very visible to veterans is that we're going to cover up some of the passageway between the parking ramp and the medical center, to include a new drop-off area for our emergency room, and so veterans that are now having to walk outdoors in an uncovered area to get from the parking ramp to the medical center will now be able to transition those areas in a covered area, which will be best suited for the winter, but also in the summer. It's going to be a more comfortable transition from that space to the other. Finishing up our emergency room, and so there will be more projects, building some more affordable housing for veterans across the street on the other side of our campus, and so there's always some good project going on, and we've been very, very blessed to have good projects made a difference for veterans, and so that kind of work is going to continue.
Director, I would guess the number of patients that are eligible for care at the Minneapolis Medical Center is still going up. Are you going to have more challenges in just keeping enough people to take care of those new veterans?
You know, I we're going to manage that, Tom. I mean, it's always a challenge, and it's a challenge because, as you point out, we have grown every year. So if I go back 5 years, we had about 85,000 veterans getting care in our system, and at the end of this last fiscal year, we're up to about 103,000 veterans, and that's growing all the time, and that's a good thing. There's a lot of veterans eligible for health care, and we want them to come here, but you know, we're constrained in space on our campus too. You know, we got a big campus over here, but we're challenged in those ways, and that's why those projects are important. But we encourage all veterans who are eligible to get their care with us, and if we can't take care of them here, we'll buy the care for them in the community, and so that's our promise to veterans.
Director, we've enjoyed having an opportunity to talk to you every few weeks and having your doctors on the show once a month, and look forward to updates throughout 2016. I hope you have a great year, sir.
Thank you very much, Tom. Happy New Year to you and your listeners as well.
Thank you, sir. That was Patrick Kelly, the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with Minnesota's Patriot Guard Riders.
June 6, 1944, D-Day. Tom Lyons here from Minnesota Military Radio. Join me next spring on the D-Day beaches in Normandy, France. We'll fly from the Twin Cities, 10 days, 9 nights, fully escorted luxury tour. Omaha and Utah beaches, Point du Hoc, where President Reagan spoke. Battle of the Bulge, Bastogne, stand at General Patton's gravesite. Let's cruise on the bullet train, not once but twice. $37.89, and that includes your airfare, the Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame, the Palace of Versailles, and the Arc de Triomphe. Call my friends at Conservative Tours for all the details. 888-733-9494. That's 888-733-9494. Or go to conservativetours.com. The Nazi surrender at Reims, fine dining, luxury hotel in Paris. I've waited my whole life to experience the D-Day beaches. Join me for this historic mission. I'll see you at the Mulberry Harbor.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to talk to the Minnesota Patriot Guard. And joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is the president of that organization, Mr. Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Tom. Good to see you again.
We haven't had you in the studio for a while. It's good to have you in here.
No, it's good. It's good to stay in touch with what's going on with all of your constituents and your other guests that come on. And it is nice to stay in touch with it.
Well, we got a pretty good group today, from Director Kelly to yourself, the County Veteran Service Officers, and sitting next to you is a Command Sergeant Major of the Minnesota National Guard.
But, well, you know, you've been doing this a long time when you actually know all these people.
And that's good, and you have. And as long as you're on that, how many years have you been with the Minnesota Patriot Guard?
July 3rd, 2006 was my first mission. Never forget.
Still remember who it was?
I was Ladysmith, Wisconsin. Staff Sergeant Pat Liebert killed in Afghanistan.
Very good. You passed the test, Doug.
Yeah, I still get goosebumps when I think about that day.
I'm sure you do. Any idea how many missions you personally have gone on?
You know, I think the more you do, the less you count. And it's not about how many missions you've been on. The most important mission in your life is the mission you're on that day. You know, we have a lot of people wear a lot of pins in their vests, and I choose to not wear any.
Well, you've gone to enough of them, you probably couldn't put this vest back on anyway.
No, that'd be true. And again, it's important to these families that they know when we're there that day, we're there for them. And I think that's what really helps carry our genuine appreciation for the military service that day.
Doug, just in case some of our listeners aren't aware, tell me, what's the mission of the Minnesota Patriot Guard?
You know, our primary core mission, Tom, is we stand for those who were killed in action, combat, active duty. We consider that our core mission. And then, you know, the surrounding mission is the upon family requests all the time. That will stand for veterans who have passed away. And then we do some other things we call kind of help in the home front. We play bingo every month at the vets' homes and hospitals. We help with the hunts up at both the Arden Hills Armory and the up at Camp Ripley. We help with that. But our primary core mission is standing with the flag line for those who have fallen.
And who is eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
You know, it's a great thing about what we do, Tom. Everybody. All you need is a flag and an email address. And, you know, there's no requirements to have a motorcycle. You do not have to be a veteran. And there's no commitment to what you do. We just, you know, I think it's said best when come when you can and leave when you must.
And Doug, Tim Leonard's been on the show quite often over the course of the last year, and he always gives me, he always laughs at me a little bit. But if you want to drive in your cage, you're welcome, aren't you?
You're welcome to come in your cage, and we've also had people come on the bus lines. So it's just getting there is the important thing.
And cage means a car or a truck is just fine. You don't have to ride that motorcycle.
No, and then that's the nice thing about Minnesota because, you know, right about now you don't want to ride your motorcycle in this type of weather. So it's easier for us to get that transition. You know, I think if you're a Patriot Guard member in Florida, you have a harder time talking people into that.
And it's easy to sign up to be a rider. All you have to do is go to the website.
You go to the website, it's www.mnpatriotguard.org. And on the left-hand side, you'll see a join us. You need an email address and a zip code. And, you know, in about a week or two, you're just going to start seeing emails come to you about what's going on. And any different mission, you're welcome to join.
And your missions are usually departure ceremonies, return ceremonies when our troops are deployed, and it's funerals for our veterans and our active duty service members.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and actually I'm glad you brought that up because the deployment ceremonies and the deployments and the welcome homes are important to us. You know, the you know, with blessings, you know, we don't have a lot of losses from combat anymore, but it is important for us and the National Guard to stay in contact with each other. And I think those are wonderful ceremonies. We usually give them a flag that we sign by members across the state so they can fly it while they're out in deployment. And remember that those in Minnesota still love them and wish them well.
So once you've signed up to be a member of the Patriot Guard Riders, then you get these emails and you choose to which missions that you have the time and are able to go to.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, if you look at the calendar on our website as well, you have the mission calendar, and also we call the non-PGR event calendar. And it's a free choice. You know, for me personally, because I'm still working, Monday through Friday is very difficult, and we're very fortunate to have a contingent of people who can do those missions Monday through Friday. So when I see something on a Saturday, I like to go. We had a couple Saturdays ago, we had what we called Snowball Express, which is where the children of those we've lost all go to Dallas for a fully free weekend. And I went from there to a small mission in Jordan, Minnesota. There were 7 PGR members there. And it's just anything, you know, that surrounds that we can do to help with honor, dignity, and respect, as we like to say.
We're speaking to Doug Bly, the president of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Doug, you put out a mission request, and you're never really sure how many show up, but they always get there, don't they?
Well, we always do, you know, and I think it's always kind of the interesting question. You know, as long as I'm there with a flag, it's a mission. And some days we have 7, some days we have 1, and some days we have 350, depending on the mission and really what's going on around the state.
And for our listeners, I've told this story before, Doug, but for our listeners that haven't experienced it, in my family, we lost the grandfather on the other side a couple of years ago, and his daughter, he was a proud Vietnam Army infantry guy, and his daughter requested the riders, and I can still remember I got to the church early, but I didn't beat the riders. There were about 20 of them out there on a cold January day, and it is really something to walk by those Patriot Guard riders and their vests and their flags and their dark glasses and standing for that man that we lost. It was incredible.
Yeah, I've been on the family side twice now of a Patriot Guard mission, and when you walk out of the church and you see those flags snapping and the vets are saluting, and you know that that military service, however small that particular veteran may have felt it was, you know that we still, as a society, appreciate what our military has done, and I'm proud to be part of it.
So, Doug, how many missions have you been on this year?
You know, the Minnesota Patriot Guard, we're a bit over 400. I'd say probably by the end of this month we'll be about 420 mission days in total. Pretty consistent over the last 2 or 3 years, and we're quite large over the surrounding states. But I think part of it is, again, you know, it's the partnership we've established with the National Guard, and through that then the County Veteran Service Officers, and then through that, you know, a lot of funeral directors have gotten to know us as well. And I think, you know, it's important that we do, we have the entire state covered with ride captains. So every square inch of Minnesota has someone kind of watching over it from the Patriot Guard's perspective. And I think, you know, it's that trust and credibility that we have, you know, to show up only upon request. But again, it's honor, dignity, and respect. You know, the motorcycles we park away from the church, so the family doesn't hear us when we take off. And then we try and, you know, kind of manage it that way.
And you've had a great relationship with the Minnesota National Guard along the way, haven't you?
Well, you know, and more than that, I think we've made friends, you know, across the board with that. And, you know, again, it's our honor. And I think that's, you know, when the family comes by and, you know, thank you for being here today, and it's our standard responses, it's our honor. And it is our honor. Now, my particular case, I didn't serve in the military. And this is my opportunity to be of service to those who are serving.
Doug, we talk about the missions every time Tim comes on and who's eligible to join and all the great work that the Minnesota Patriot Guard does. But you also raise some money every year on a thing called the Patriot Ride.
We do, and it's actually the primary sponsor is Dennis Kirk, and I think this will be the 11th year for this particular ride. It's going to be on July 9th in 2016. It's at the Anoka County Airport. Last year, we had 3,350 motorcycles on it.
And they can make some noise when they start up, can't they?
Well, they sure can, and everyone likes to start the bike at the same time. but it's a very well-coordinated motorcycle ride. It's not about speed. It's not about distance. Well supported by law enforcement through the Northern Metro, and it's just a fascinating day. When we go through, we put around the route, we'll let the residents know that we're coming by and what day and what time, and it's amazing how many people are out there on the route with their lawn chairs and their flags and waving to us as we go by. And, you know, so for us, that's a big deal. It helps us raise a lot of money. The tribute to the troops and the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund all benefit from the money that day.
And in addition to doing 400 to 500 missions a year, you on normal years, you contribute about $100,000 to various charity organizations to help support the troops and the families. And
we do. And, you know, it's and I'm glad you asked that and brought that up, Tom. You know, we're There's a lot of conversations around nonprofits these days, and our administrative expenses are at 4% from our total donation scale. And I think it's important that the public know that when we get money, you know, we're focusing it in Minnesota to those causes that support the military, both with veterans, with the hunts that we do, and we make hamburgers and chili for the soldiers who hunt at Arden Hills. But as well, then we donate to other organizations who do great work. So we can't do everything, and we know that. So organizations like the MMFF and Flags for Military Fallen and different organizations like that we donate to help them do their work and so that they can focus on doing promoting their cause and not have to worry about money.
Yeah, and other organizations here at home in Minnesota that are very efficient in terms of a low expense ratio.
Well, exactly. You know, we like working with, again, we'll use MMFF as an example. All volunteer run, nobody gets paid. It's our kind of organization.
The money stays home.
Well, it all stays home in Minnesota, and we know it's going to be used to those who need it, which is those who put a uniform on, and that's all that matters to us when we do this.
Doug, we had about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
You know, I think it's just, you know, let's remember this holiday, the empty chair for those many families who've lost. Let's remember the empty chair for those who have families serving overseas and can't be home with them. And it's just an in general wake up with all the consternation around the world. Let's just, you know, appreciate the fact that, you know, a third of 1% of all of our members of society put a uniform on and stood for freedom. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I appreciate what those people have done.
Doug, great to have you in the studio. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Happy holidays.
That was Doug Bly from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we'll meet with the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer, Lisa Klink. Lisa, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Good to have you in here. I think we had you out at the fair for your first show, and then you've called in, and it's your first trip to the studio, so thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
The Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Can you explain to us what that association is about and how many County Veteran Service Officers do we have?
Well, with County Veteran Service Officers and Assistants, we have about 137, and that's not their administrative support. There's 85, 87 counties in Minnesota. There are some that share counties, so some of the CVSOs have more than one county. And so there's quite a bit of us, and our focus as the association is to support those CVSOs in their job and in their training, but it's also an advocate for veterans and to ensure that those CVSOs stay in the county and they're there to support veterans for decades to come.
One of the big things that I think the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs helps with is training of county veteran service officers. And I've been to some of your association meetings, and there's always a huge training component. Your county veteran service officers need to be a referral resource and know everything, every resource available to help veterans with anything, correct?
Correct, exactly. We not only are trained in and knowledgeable in the federal benefits, but as well as the state benefits that are available for veterans in Minnesota. And so it's really important. We're all required to be accredited, and that is a 40-hour course. In addition, there's a test at the end, and we are required to continue our education and get those hours every year. So it's very important to us to stay abreast of what's new and what's happening with the VA as well at the state level.
So you're always learning.
Always learning. I tell you, every day in our job is something new.
Now, Lisa, you've heard me say this many times. We tell every veteran, whether they just get out of the service or get out 30 years ago, go find your DD-214, your discharge certificate. Go visit your county veteran service officer. Get registered. You might not need them today, but you or your family might sometime in the future, so go visit.
Exactly. I think it's so important that you contact your CVSO because there are so many things that are out there that are available to the veteran and to their family. Like you said, you may not need them now, but you may need them one day. And, you know, I think it's so important to just remember we're here for you. And our job is to serve veterans in Minnesota and their families.
And if for some reason there was something that happened while you were in service and you need to start to process a claim with the federal VA, the place to start is your county veteran service officer.
Definitely. I'm definitely a big proponent of ensuring that you get the help with that and get an advocate. You know, right now, the VA is very big, and it's, you know, it's trying to process a lot of claims. And the CVSO is there to, one, ensure that you get the expertise and ensuring that the claim is, you know, is what it needs to be and written correctly, and also that we have the documentation to validate the claim. And we're there for you to get all that and help you through the whole process and know that you have an advocate and someone to call when things aren't going the way they are. And they should be.
And for additional help, they can go to the veteran service organizations such as the VFW, American Legion, Vietnam Veterans, and Disabled American Veterans, and they have specialists that can help with the claims as well.
Exactly. And we work with them. They are they're just our another line and that we work with. We work with either whoever they choose to use, the American Legion, like you said, VFW, DAV, any one of those. Whoever you choose, we will work with them. We have relationships with them, and it's, you know, to us, it's very important that you have as many advocates as you can with regard to the Veterans Administration.
We're speaking with Lisa Klink, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. Lisa, were there any hot topics in 2015?
You know, I think the biggest one was the CHOICE program. I think with the need initially at the VA healthcare systems, one of that we're very familiar with is Arizona. And I think that has been a big condition. You know, the VA brought that program out. It was really quickly done. And so one of those things that we've been working with Congressman Wall's office as well as Nolan's to ensure that the voices of Minnesota veterans are heard with regard to this program. There's some challenges. Honestly, it was rolled out very quickly. The contract and the processes were not thought through. We are trying to identify those things and try to fix them. I'm part of that group, and we're still moving forward. And the VA did come out with a plan that they're trying to assimilate. And right now, we're just trying to see what comes next. But that's one of the big hot topics.
So that was the CHOICE card that veterans mm-hmm. got if they couldn't get their appointment
locally
quick enough and it was too far away. Then they had an opportunity to get approval and go to a private doctor to get that taken care of.
Correct. And that's one thing we had talked about before. And one of the things I think the challenge is that it's a contract that was limited, and it kind of ties everyone's hands. So I think one of the things that they're working on is to try to avoid that in the future with a new plan.
Lisa, were there some changes to the presumptive diseases?
You know, recently, actually December 17th, we just got a news release from Camp Lejeune, and I don't know if many people are familiar with it, but there was a lot of toxicity and dumping in Camp Lejeune and on the Marine base there, and they have finally identified that there was toxins that we as military Marines were drinking through the water sources, and so they've finally identified that, yes, there are some related diseases, and there's a list on actually out on the va.gov, but some of the things are kidney cancer, liver cancer. So if you ever were stationed there, you lived there with your family, you are reservist or guard that did training there, definitely go see your veteran service officer. If you have any of those related diseases, like I said, go to va.gov, and there's a list of them there for you to review. But even if you're not certain and you believe you may have something related to it, go see your CVSO. They'll get you through that process and get a claim started for you.
So there's a list of those for Camp Lejeune, just like there's a list of those for us Vietnam veterans related to Agent Orange.
Exactly.
And if you suffer from that and you were stationed there, you might be eligible for some.
Correct. Okay. And I always say, if there's something unique, definitely notify your county veteran service officer, because it might be one that's missed.
Lisa, can you tell me who's eligible to be a county veteran service officer?
You know, one thing that's great about Minnesota is that they really they favor veterans, and they favor to ensure that that position is held by a veteran. So all CVSOs or assistant CVSOs are veterans themselves. So when you go in there and you're talking to a service officer, you're talking to a veteran themselves.
So is there some turnover each year in county veteran service officers?
You know, there is some. It's very limited. It's definitely one of those coveted positions that veterans really do like. We actually have a few openings. One's in Winona right now, and I think one down in Waseca County. So those two are available. It's definitely a hot. I was just talking to one of the administrators. They had like 40, 45 applicants. So it's definitely a great position, and it does a lot of good work.
So what makes a good applicant? Some experience in the claims process, or what kind of background does a good county veteran service officer come from besides being a veteran?
Besides being a veteran, I'd say, anytime you have some medical background, definitely medical background is going to help you, some knowledge in claims processing, of course, any process in research. You're going to do a lot of research. You're going to financial, if you have a background in some financial avenue, will help you as well. I know my background was in financials as well as medical. And, I think a degree would never hurt. I mean, it just shows that experience. And so I think, military experience, definitely a plus. It's going to be a plus for anyone.
And a good heart and caring about our veterans.
I think compassion is the biggest one. And I think really most veterans will say they are very, veterans are important to them as well as being a veteran themselves.
Lisa, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I just want to push again, go see your county veteran service officer, whether you need them or not. Just find out what your benefits are. It will not hurt you at all to go find out what your benefits are available for, and your family as well. Let your family know, because sometimes there's burial benefits or some things that you are unaware of, but make your family aware of that.
And our veterans can choose which one they go to. If they want to go up by their lake place, if they want to go to the next county over, doesn't matter where you go.
Most important, go where you feel comfortable. Go, like I always say, you may not feel comfortable talking to me, but go where you feel comfortable. Get taken care of. It's your benefit. You've earned it. It's like any other employer. I keep telling people that you were employed by the Department of Defense, and you served your country, and you've earned those benefits.
Lisa, thanks for joining us today, and I hope you and all of your fellow County Veteran Service Officers have a terrific year in 2016.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
That was Lisa Klink, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll speak to the senior enlisted advisor to Minnesota's National Guard Adjutant General in just a moment.
June 6th, 1944, D-Day. Tom Lyons here from Minnesota Military Radio. Join me next spring on the D-Day beaches in Normandy, France. We'll fly from the Twin Cities, 10 days, 9 nights, fully escorted luxury tour. Omaha and Utah beaches, Point du Hoc, where President Reagan spoke. Battle of the Bulge, Bastogne, stand at General Patton's gravesite. Let's cruise on the bullet train, not once but twice. $37.89, and that includes your airfare, the Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame, the Palace of Versailles, and the Arc de Triomphe. Call my friends at Conservative Tours for all the details. 888-733-9494. That's 888-733-9494, or go to conservativetours.com. The Nazi surrender at Reims, fine dining, luxury hotel in Paris. I've waited my whole life to experience the D-Day beaches. Join me for this historic mission. I'll see you at the Mulberry Harbor.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Through the Program and Services Division of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, we assist veterans from all eras of conflict, ensuring they are connected to the benefits and resources they have earned through their service. We recognize that while veterans have made tremendous sacrifices for this country, families serve too and are eligible for many federal, state, and local programs. We administer and highlight a number of health and disability-related programs for Minnesota veterans and their families. These include benefits and services in the areas of disability claims, outreach, dental, optical, special needs, homelessness prevention, and health information on issues like depleted uranium and hepatitis C. For personal assistance and more information on these programs, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org or contact your county veteran service officer.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to the show.
Well, hello, Tom, and great to be here again.
Sergeant Major, for those few people that maybe don't know, what is the purpose, what's the job, Command Sergeant Major, the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, my job is to make sure that I work hand-in-hand with our Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, and keep them informed about things that are affecting the force, both on the Army and Air side of our Minnesota National Guard.
So do you serve at that command level? You're up there where everybody's making the decisions, and when the decisions are there to be implemented, do you then go out and talk to the sergeant majors of the other units and explain the background of what we're doing and where we're going and why?
Absolutely. Communication is a big piece of my job to ensure I get out, talk to all of our soldiers and airmen at all levels, not just at the senior levels within their ranks.
So you're the top sergeant for the all of the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard. You're an Army sergeant major. How do the Air Force side, how do they react to you, sir?
I think that they react pretty well. Now, that might be just because I'm the senior enlisted advisor, but I've worked very hard over the last year to make sure that I develop a very good relationship with our Air National Guard, because they're a vital asset to the Minnesota National Guard. And like I said, they're just important for us to have us here.
And, of course, they've got two units, the 148th up in Duluth and the 133rd here in Minneapolis, about 1,000 airmen each, something like that?
That's correct, yep.
So you spend a little time on my side of the service over with the Air Force.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I just got back from Washington, D.C. On a trip with the Air National Guard to provide their State of the State briefing to the Air National Guard Readiness Center.
Sergeant Major, I seem to recall you were on early in 2015, and we were talking about a list of priorities that you had that you'd worked out with the Adjutant General. How are those things coming?
Well, they're coming along pretty good. Obviously, things don't happen overnight, and things are a work in progress. And I'll just recap a couple of things for you that I've been working on and I'll continue to work on. And as you know, we've had multiple shows you've hosted when we talk about suicide awareness and prevention, and that's something that we always keep in the forefront of our mind, because one suicide is too many within our ranks. And the big thing there is we try to maintain focus on the resilience development of our soldiers and airmen, and explain to them that asking for help, exploring resources, that's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength, and we want to do everything we can to provide those resources when we've identified that there's an issue with somebody.
So from the two shows that I recall that we've done recently, the message was help is there. All you have to do is ask for it. And if our listeners want to go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, you look for the December 6th show from this year on resilience, risk reduction, and suicide prevention, or the September 14th of 2014, there was a show on suicide prevention that actually helps everyone understand changes. That if a person is having some trouble and experiencing some changes, you might see some things that would say, okay, let's find out if they need some help, let's ask. And then we talk a lot about the resources available. So those shows, I think, could be quite helpful to any of our listeners that that think that they know or are personally having some trouble. Sergeant Major, one of the things that Major Jarvie was talking about was there's resources available. There's no stigma in asking for help. It doesn't mean that your career is over. Is that really true?
That is absolutely the truth, and that's the reason why I continue to talk about suicide awareness and prevention when I'm out amongst our soldiers and airmen, to let them know that it is okay to ask for help. We've got the resources available, and there is still the ability to serve even though they're asking for help and need help. It's okay. We want them to continue to be that strong asset within the Minnesota National Guard, and the only way we can make sure that that happens if they do reach out and get that help.
Sergeant Major, I know another thing that we've talked about and General Nash has talked about on this show and is generally speaking was sexual assault and harassment. You'd think in 2015, 2016, that zero tolerance would be well known and this issue would go away. And I wish it would go away, but unfortunately it hasn't, has it?
No, it hasn't gone away, and I don't want your listening audience to think that we've got this big problem within the Minnesota National Guard, but it is something that we have to always talk about because we do have a zero-tolerance policy. And, there again, if it's reported, we're going to take action. And we want our soldiers and our airmen to know that if there's been an incident, if they've been a victim of any type of sexual assault and harassment, that we will take action. And one of the things that through doing that, promoting that, we've actually had service members report things that had happened even prior to service, and we still provide them the resources that they need to get through that trauma that they'd experienced prior to service.
Deal with it, put it behind them as best they can, and move on with life. And once again, I suppose some of them that have been assaulted, there's still a stigma there, isn't there?
Yeah.
In their mind.
There could be still a stigma, and there's no retribution, all right? If you need help, we want to give you the help that you need.
Sergeant Major, your other priorities? I know readiness is a big issue for the Minnesota National Guard, one that you've handled quite well.
Yeah, and we want to make sure that the citizens of Minnesota know that we are doing everything that we possibly can to ensure that we are always ready to answer the call. And just a quick report that within the Minnesota Army National Guard, of the 36 rated organizations we have, 16 of them ranked out as number one versus or compared to like organizations across the National Guard. And an even more impressive number is that 31 of the 36 rated in the top five of all like National Guard units within the entire National Guard. So citizens of Minnesota, understand, your National Guard is absolutely ready. And don't forget, the two wings you've already mentioned, they are ready to move within 72 hours if needed.
Or quicker, I would guess.
Or quicker, absolutely.
Sergeant Major, just got a couple of minutes left. There are other topics you wanted to mention in your list of priorities?
Yeah, so, you know, mentorship is one of the things that I talked about before, and one of the things we're going to implement or improve for moving into 2016 is a sponsorship program. Because as you know, one of the organizational priorities has been diversity within the Minnesota National Guard. And when we get our senior leaders to sponsor soldiers and airmen, that can help promote that diversity. Because one of the things that I like to talk to soldiers and airmen about is the fact that sponsors will talk about you, mentors will talk with you, and coaches will talk to you. And we need sponsors talking about the soldiers and the airmen we have in our organization and the great things that they do. Go ahead.
Sergeant Major, we're down to about 1 minute. I know you wanted to tell me something about stars of the game. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to talk about. That leads me into the stars of the game, and this is where I have the opportunity to recognize soldiers and airmen within the organization that are doing great things. And we take a nice picture of them. We put a PAO story out. Public Affairs does a nice piece on them, and they post them out on my webpage, Stars of the Game, on my On Center Ice page. And it's just a great layout and a great way to recognize our service members for doing wonderful things.
And a lot of great Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen doing the best job possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely they are.
Sergeant Major, I want to thank you for joining us again today, and I hope that you have a terrific year in 2016. I know there's lots coming up, and we'll be talking about that on future shows.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Tom, and I just want to say happy holidays, happy New Year's, and just know that no matter what, no matter when, no matter where, Minnesota National Guard will always be ready.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Lisa Klenk from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Also, Commissioner Larry Shelito, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week for our annual year-in-review show with Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the Minnesota National Guard Adjutant General. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.